is taken from the 23rd Proverbs, verses 22 through 25. If you do not have a Bible of your own, we invite you to take one of the Bibles underneath the seat in front of you. For God's word is truth. 23rd Proverbs, beginning verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Amen.
For Father's Day today, I want to focus on just one verse from this passage that was just read. Verse 24, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. Now, if I were to take a survey here this morning of all the dads that are present, I could confidently predict that 100% of all the dads surveyed would prefer a wise son over a foolish son. 100% of the dads would prefer a righteous son over an unrighteous son. I wouldn't even have to know you. I wouldn't have to know one thing about you to know that as a father, you would find more joy in a wise son than in a foolish son. More joy in a righteous son than in an unrighteous son. So why would the Bible make a statement that's so utterly obvious to everyone? One that everyone knows without it even being said. Well, the reason this verse is here is not to state what we don't know or to tell us something that we might otherwise never discover. The verse is here as a reminder. It's here to remind us of what we already know, but we might have a tendency to forget. For example, if I said to you, if you don't get enough sleep, you'll be tired, and you won't be as productive, and your health may suffer. You would say, well, I know that, and you do know that. But yet, sleep deprivation is a national epidemic. Studies reveal that over half of Americans don't get adequate sleep, and it causes all kinds of problems. If I said to you, if you consume more calories than you burn up over a period of time, you will gain weight. You'd say, duh, I know that, and you do. Yet 65% of Americans are overweight, according to government research. So clearly, it's not about knowledge, is it? Just because you know something doesn't necessarily mean that it makes much difference. Just as talk is cheap, knowledge is cheap also, unless you put that knowledge into action. Proverbs 23, verse 24, is not telling us what we don't know. It's reminding us of something very important that we forget. So, a father of a righteous son has great joy, and the father of a wise son delights in him. So what? We already know that. But already knowing it, this verse compels us to ask a follow-up question. And that question is, so how does one attain or acquire a righteous son? How does one acquire a wise son? Well, let me tell you how you don't acquire one. First, you don't acquire one through birth. They are not born that way. No one has a righteous son at birth. It never happens. With one exception. And he was born in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. So it's nobody in your family. I hate to break the news to you. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes sons. All sons. Yours and mine. Sorry, Dan. And they don't become righteous and wise through neglect either. That's why Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and why Ephesians 4 or Ephesians 6 verse 4 in regard to children says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Neglected sons are like unweeded gardens or houses that are not maintained or cars that are not repaired. You will have problems. Wise sons and righteous sons are not born that way, nor do they get that way through neglect. Wise and righteous sons become that way through a long-term commitment to developing them toward that goal. Sons grow wise and righteous. They become righteous and wise men through proactive, assertive commitment to do what contributes to that goal. This morning, I want to mention three things that we can do to move sons in the right direction. Understand, first of all, that no son can be forced into wisdom and righteousness. It must be something that the son ultimately sees as valuable and worthy of their attention and focus. Fact is, some sons take a long time to get there. Some sons take a long time to get it. They don't seem to sustain much progress, and their setbacks are common and frequent. But that's no reason to stop or give up, because not everyone grows at the same pace. Not everyone grows equally. Some grow consistently, little by little, over a long period of time. And you can see that it's very consistent, month after month, year after year. Other sons grow in spurts, with kind of long, dry spells in between. And we don't always know what particular influence, any particular thing, which one will have the most impact and the most influence. So we engage in the process through multiple avenues. The first commitment we must make is to teach our sons biblical principles. Now, keep in mind this morning, whatever I say about the raising of sons applies to daughters as well. But that first commitment is to teach our sons and daughters biblical principles. This is taught way back in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, where it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." The principles of biblical truth must first of all be on our own hearts. It starts here. It begins with us. We are to know them. We are to understand them. We are to think about them. We are to value them and treasure them. But then we are to impress them on our children. Now, sometimes the impression is more formal, like sitting at home, kind of a classroom without a chalkboard, or in some cases with a chalkboard. Other times the education is less formal, like walking along the road. Not only at night, when you lie down, but also in the daytime, when you get up. The principles that God has revealed are to be a continual part of the lives that we live. Teaching them, looking for opportunities, teachable moments where a principle can be taught. And sometimes, maybe often, it's not even recognized that that's what it is at the time, but it takes root. The second commitment we should make in the training of our sons and daughters is we should teach them about priorities. Now, when I say about priorities, what I mean is we teach them the concept of priorities, that not everything is equally important, that some things are very important and cannot be neglected, that some things are mildly important and should not be neglected, and that some things are unimportant and should be neglected. This is what Ephesians 5 means when it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." We make the most of opportunities because we only have so many of them. They're not unlimited. To spend precious time on the things that matter very little is to squander the most valuable asset that we have, our time. Without time, you can't do anything. I've said more times than I can count, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's what it means. That's what priorities means. Now, that doesn't mean we program every waking moment of our lives so that we're engaged in productive activity all the time. It means we recognize that we only have so much time to do what matters most. If we waste time doing things that don't matter, then we won't have time to do the things that matter most. Priorities compel us to do what matters the most and leave the things alone that matter least. Children must understand that to say yes to one thing means to say no to something else. And to say no to something of lesser importance frees us up to say yes to what is more important. This is another one of those things that is painfully obvious to us, but it wouldn't require much research to confirm that one of life's common frustrations is not having the time to do what really matters. You ever said that? I just don't get the time to do that. But the fact is, we do have time to do what really matters. We just must choose to do it. That's why understanding priorities is one of the most important life lessons that we can learn. And the sooner we learn it, the better. And the sooner our children learn it, the better. The last commitment I want to mention this morning is that we must teach our sons and daughters our values. Values are not just what we believe is important. Many people claim to have this value or that value, but they don't live by it. They say it's important, but they live as if it's not. Better definition of values would be, values are what we hold dear enough to actually practice. This is precisely the point of Romans chapter 2, where it says, you who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? Now, we should certainly say what our values are, and we should certainly teach what our values are. But we must realize that we can't merely say or merely teach what our values are. We must also live them out. Harmon Killebrew, the great Major League Baseball player for the Minnesota Twins, used to play for my team, the Senators, until they moved to Texas in 1961. A great ball player. He tells of an incident in his childhood. I guess it happened more than once. But he said, my father used to play with me and my brother in the yard. Mother would come out and say, you're tearing up the grass. Dad would reply, we're not raising grass, we're raising boys. Values. But the fact is, values are more caught than taught. They're more felt than telt. Don't look that up. It's not in the dictionary. See, we can announce to our kids all day long that something is important to us. You can say to your kids over and over again, this is really important. This is priority number one. But they'll observe whether it really is, not by what you say, but by what you do. If you claim that honesty is an important personal value, but your kids catch you shading the truth, guess what they'll conclude is not really a value. You claim that reliability and fulfilling commitments is an important personal value, but your kids consistently watch you fail at both. Guess what they'll conclude is not really a personal value of yours. This is one of the most difficult and frustrating aspects of being a parent, because we aren't perfect, because we don't always say and then do what is most important. Because we are often inconsistent, truth be told, ourselves. We feel as if our testimony as parents is compromised and invalidated. But let me give you the good news. It's not. It's not. What invalidates our testimony as parents is not failures. They're commonplace. What invalidates it is hypocrisy. When we act as if we have it all together, when we don't. Someone has said that parents might as well admit when they're wrong because their kids already know it anyway. think that's true. We don't have to be perfect to teach values. It's just that when our actions don't back up what we say, then what we say has little lasting impact. Perfection is not required, but we must teach the values that matter and then consistently live them out. Consistently. I didn't say perfectly. There's a big difference between consistency and perfection. You may not be a fan of Mario Cuomo's politics, but he said something worth hearing. He said, "I talk and talk and talk, and I haven't taught people in 50 years what my father taught by example in 1 week." We don't teach values just in word. We don't teach values just in deed. We teach values in word and deed. What we say and then what we do. So I'm confident that every father here today would echo Proverbs 23:24. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. Nobody here today would opt for an unwise or unrighteous son or daughter. We would all prefer one that's wise and righteous. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I don't need to. It would be 100%. It won't happen by accident or default, and children aren't born this way. It will require a long-term commitment to many things. This morning, we've just looked at three in particular. So as a parent, we want to teach our kids biblical principles. To do that, we must know them ourselves. So we have some work to do. You'll also want to teach your kids about priorities, that you can't do everything. There just isn't time. And trying to do everything isn't a worthy goal anyway. Best we can do is do what's most important and leave undone those things that are less important. It will save you lots of frustration, lots of disappointment, and lots of pain. Finally, we teach our kids our values, and we live them out. Because do as I say and not as I do is about as worthless a statement as it is a concept. Now, doing these things is no guarantee that our sons and daughters will be righteous and wise. It's no guarantee. But to not do them is a virtual guarantee that they will not be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wisdom of this verse out of your word. Not that it tells us anything profound or that we didn't already know, but it's a very important reminder to us that our children don't become wise and righteous through neglect. They're certainly not born that way any more than we were. What it requires is a long-term commitment to doing the things that contribute toward that end. And for that, we need your wisdom and grace, patience, fortitude, encouragement. We thank you for the honor, for the high privilege and calling of being a parent. What a great responsibility it is, but what a great privilege at the same time. We don't for a moment assume that we could ever do it perfectly any more than we had perfect parents. We can do it well by your grace and enablement. And so that's what we ask for today, that as parents you would strengthen us for the journey, that you'd give us wisdom, help us to understand the centrality of your word and knowing it so that we can teach its principles, the importance of priorities, that we can't do it all, so we better focus on the things that matter the most. We thank you that we have been given through your word what really matters, the values that you have stated. May we teach them and consistently live them out, not being oppressed or burdened by any sense that we need to be perfect. That's a waste of time and effort, because we will never be perfect. But we can be consistent by your grace and strength. So that's our prayer today on this Father's Day. Help us, we pray. To your honor and glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.